Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
After yesterday's show, Lottie said she lets her baby Wolf sleep in her bed. Wolf is 9 months old and we were inundated with texts from people. On Lottie's side, on a different side. So what is the right thing to do? Should babies be co-sleeping? Is this right for everybody? Is there a time to get a baby out? Should we just let the mother decide or the daddy decide? Anyway, we decided to go to Lucy Wolf, who is author of The Baby Sleep Solution. She's a sleep consultant. She's amazing. She's been on the show before. Lucy, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good and thank you so much for doing this. So, let's settle this. Should a baby sleep in your bed?
Honestly, it's entirely up to the family unit.
Yeah.
And that is that would be my perspective. Now, I do have to preface that by saying that the health agenda doesn't support bed sharing, but we do know that up to 70% of parents share the bed at some point in their parenting career. And again, it's just about making that safe, informed decision for what feels intuitively right for the family.
Okay. So what are the risks involved?
Well, safe sleep is the big piece of that, because beds with adults in them aren't designed for small people, essentially. So you just want to make sure that, you know, the same guidance for cot sleep is observed for bed sharing. So no loose bedding, baby on a firm surface, no gaps, and everybody party to the bed sharing is making that self-safe decision around that.
Okay.
And it's a very natural way to sleep with your baby, and especially a breastfed baby. It is it's one of the best ways of getting the least disturbed sleep. However, I do spend a lot of my professional career managing and working with families who have done that either from a planned or an unplanned perspective and now want to change that. But you can change that whenever it feels right for you as well.
Can you though?
Yeah, no, you can, absolutely. But it obviously takes work on both parts. Mm. You know, helping your baby change their expectations and helping you support them through that. I work with children until they're age 6. So I work from 6 months to 6 years. And it is very typical for parents to be bed sharing at some point in the night. So not always from bedtime, but at some point throughout the overnight, babies get brought into the bed, either reactively because it's a way to get them back to sleep, or not, because it doesn't always work that well for families. But again, yes, they can be helped to change what they associate with going to sleep. And that can be done in a really gentle and appropriate way for the family as well. And again, like, there's no right or wrong. There absolutely isn't. But so let's say there are some families today that maybe are reactively bed sharing and it feels like nobody's getting any sleep. To know that that can be changed as well is important to supporting the families who are open to doing it and it's working beautifully for them.
Can you co-sleep with a child and then expect them to be able to self-soothe on their own at different parts of the day or night?
You can. Obviously, it depends. Like, I tend to not use the word self-soothe. I use the word sleepability because I feel it describes the range that you may have, a child being able to get to sleep themselves and maybe then getting back to sleep themselves. Obviously, the way your child experiences their sleep often means that they find it difficult to get back to sleep without more parental support, which is often why we experience nighttime waking. But you can expect children and help them to learn that, you know, move that sleepability up the scale so they become more able either at bedtime or at nap time, which then can be fed and, you know, helped throughout the course of the night. It's more difficult to expect a child to return to sleep through the night if they haven't got a high sleepability at bedtime. But nothing's impossible. But it's about understanding and knowing all the other force factors that have an impact on your child's sleep, like the time they go to bed at, what time they wake at, what their sensory diet is like throughout the course of the day, what your feeding practice is like throughout the course of the day, you're feeling, how they're feeling. Mm. There's so many different parts to the puzzle. And again, what I really spend a lot of time doing is trying to reassure parents, you know, to follow their instincts, to become informed, you know, to make decisions that feel right for them, and then just slowly work through whatever feels like. So let's say I might have a family that want to keep bed sharing or co-sleeping through the night, but they also would like their baby to get to sleep at bedtime in a cot first, that maybe they have the first part of the night. So again, we might work on a gentle sleep learning exercise there, but then as soon as the baby wakes up, we bring him into the bed. So you're almost having the best of two worlds there. But again, it is down to each family and what they really would like for themselves.
The biggest thing, I suppose, is how do you get that baby who likes to sleep on you, not out of the bedroom, but in, how do you do that? How do you get them off you?
Yeah, so I do think it's a big process. And under 6 months, I have two different approaches, one for under 6 months and then one for over 6 months. So under 6 months, I encourage what I call my percentage of wakefulness approach, which means that when you've got, you know, implemented a feeding and sleeping balance for the day, you've begun doing pre-sleep bedtime routines, then you might have them not completely asleep at bedtime in your arms or on the last feed. So they might be like 5% awake or aware that they've been put down. And then just slowly over time, over the course of a few weeks or even months, I move the needle of 5% to 10%, so that maybe they end up being 70% asleep and 30% more aware and awake that they've been put down. Once they've gone over 6 months, that approach is not as helpful because they often get overstimulated by you trying to do something like that. So then I just use a sleep learning exercise. So I generally use my stay and support approach to transition from things that you've been doing, like feeding to sleep, like rocking to sleep, like holding hands to sleep or rolling in a buggy. And again, I always start at bedtime because that's where it's easier for them to learn. And again, it's about trying to get their timing to sleep well positioned. So I often work off wake profiles. So, for example, a baby, I know Wolf is aged 9 months. So generally around 9 months onwards, they do very well if they are put to bed or at bedtime is addressed about 3 to 4 hours after their last nap. So we could kind of go back on that and then begin doing 20-minute bedtime routine in the bed that the baby is going to sleep in. And then as you work on transitioning them, I use my stay and support approach, which means that the parent physically support, emotionally support. They work with the child as they accompany them on that learning journey. They sometimes can be upset when they are transitioning because it's a change for them. The parent completely holds them, not always physically, but very much emotionally, where they are at as they develop and we move the needle on that sleep ability.
Okay. And let's talk about toddlers then, who wander in and want to get into bed, because I've had this problem and a lot of parents have had this problem. Is that just about reinforcing, like, I mean,
I know
it's so hard because it's so emotive, but nobody gets any sleep when a 4-year-old is wandering into the bed and sticking his feet in your face. So what do you do there?
Yeah, so again, and that is the point, that we change things when it no longer is working for a family.
Yeah.
So when it's no longer tenable, no one's getting enough sleep, and we need to understand that sleep's really important to everything, our well-being and theirs. So let's say when that starts to happen, like, they could do that once and that could easily become part of their expectation around sleep. So if it's a thing that a parent doesn't want them to share the bed at any stage of the night and they wander in, I generally return them to their bedroom and their bed, but then I'd leave the parent with them. So we accompany them in their bedroom, not necessarily in their bed, but we are defining their place of sleep. That often means that temporarily you get less sleep in the short term. But once you're helping them understand this is your place of sleep and they start off there at bedtime with your support or not, that they are returned to their bed and supported again back to sleep, they'll start to knit their sleep cycles together and then they'll sleep in their bed all night and you will too. But it's not always as straightforward as that because so many things, like I said, affect sleep. And timing is a big part of sleep, and overtiredness encourages that nighttime waking. So before you ever look at implementing an approach like my stay and support approach and, you know, taking them back to their bedroom, I always want to try and make sure that bedtime is well timed, naps are well timed, and they're getting enough sleep during the day, because the more rested your child is, the more chance you have of them actually maintaining their sleep anyway. Wow. Without any intervention.
So your top sleepy time tips then for parents?
So I guess I put a big emphasis on wake times, actually, because the wake time is probably one of the most important things to set the tone for the rest of the day. So some people won't have a problem with this, but I try to treat any waking before 6 a.m. as night time, and lots of people will be waking much before that time.
So any time before 6 a.m. is night time.
Night time.
Yeah.
And then beyond six, get up and start the day, but properly get up and start the day, up, out of the bedroom, downstairs, start breakfast and drinks and engagement, and waking no later than 7:30 a.m. And then implementing, I describe it as a feeding and sleeping balance that's age appropriate. So that obviously changes, you know, at 6 months and 9 months and as your child gets older. And like by three, your children aren't napping anymore. Yet when they arrive, mm-hmm. they're taking maybe 18 naps a day. And then that gets shrunk to one by around the year and a half mark. So there's loads of transitions that we go through. So again, having that age appropriate, feeding is even balanced, because there's a big relationship between feeding and sleeping, and it's best if they live in sync with each other rather than fighting with each other. And then I guess I'm obviously a big advocate of an early, well-timed bedtime that's appropriate for the young child. And I absolutely love creating really good, calm, connected bedtime routines that are in the bedroom that your child is going to sleep in. One parent taking lots of time to engage and connect at that big point of separation that is ultimately sleep, so that maybe if they get more of you there, they might feel they need less of you in the overnight when some of us prefer to be sleeping better. But again, it all takes time. It takes loads of patience and commitment, which, as does every parenting piece of the puzzle, but this particular piece of the puzzle can be very emotional and frustrating and confusing. And obviously it's polarizing as well, which you've experienced on your show yesterday and today.
Lucy, if your baby just won't settle, you can step in and help, can't you?
Oh, yeah, that's it. And I suppose I have lots of different ways of helping parents. So I have my one-to-one service, which is a very intimate working. I work with parents for, you know, a month to 6 weeks, working very much with them in a bespoke way. I have my books, obviously, The Baby Sleep Solution that I know you mentioned, and all about The Baby Sleep Solution. And I also have online courses as well that parents can just go to, download and start working themselves.
That's a good idea.
Similar way for a one-to-one consult, but obviously it's more cost-effective. And parents can access that from lucywolfsleepplans.com. And I've loads of content on my social media as well, because I'm just so invested in helping parents at what is a really difficult time for many of us.
Absolutely. Lucy Wolf, you're an absolute star. Thank you so much for doing that. And as Lucy said, it's different for everyone. But if you are saying to yourself, I love co-sleeping, but I would love my baby to be in a different room, or I would love my baby to be beside me, or I would love them to be able to nap properly during the day. If you have any of those concerns, you know, maybe check it out. Maybe it's for you. It's Lucy Wolf. She is author of The Baby Sleep Solution and all about The Baby Sleep Solution. You can get her on sleepmatters.ie, and we'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.